Thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. As many of you will know, or possibly know, this is Pentecost Sunday. It's a time when Christians all over the world remember the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised after he returned to heaven, had been poured out on those very first Christians. I mean, it was truly an incredible experience for those present. They were gathered in a room in somebody's house. It must have been a pretty large room, a pretty large house. And when they were gathered there, suddenly there was this sound of a blowing of a violent wind from heaven. And the sound of this wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. I mean, that must have been incredible in itself, wondering what this sound was, this howling wind filling the house. And then they saw these tongues of fire that seemed to separate and land on each one of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues or other languages. Incredible. They began to speak as the Holy Spirit enabled them. This was new. This was something outside any of their experience, completely new, supernatural, this filling with the Spirit. Now, I'm not sure if the sound of this wind could be heard outside the house. You imagine if it was so loud, filling the house, it possibly was heard outside. But then maybe the people in the house must have begun to pour out of the house. And they were pouring out of the house, speaking in these tongues or other languages. In Jerusalem at this time, there were Jews from every nation in the world. They were there for a feast in Jerusalem. And when they heard this commotion, the crowds of them gathered to see what was happening. They were amazed. They were perplexed by what was happening. Now, these Jews from all these different nations had their own languages, obviously. They heard these Galilean Jews who had been in this house speaking in their languages, not their own languages, speaking in their languages, and they were declaring the wonders of God. Now, they must have thought, these are just Galilean people. These are just ordinary people from this area. Yet we are hearing them declaring God's wonders in our language. They were amazed by it. They were perplexed by it. And as you would probably expect, some of them mocked. Some of them said, well, they've obviously had too much to drink. The Apostle Peter stood up. He stood up. He was really fulfilling what Jesus had said, when the Spirit comes, you'll be my witnesses. And he began to speak to this large crowd and explain to them what had happened. He explained that Jesus Christ had come into the world. He had done many miraculous signs and wonders. In fact, some of these Jews would have witnessed some of the signs and wonders Jesus did. But then Jesus had been crucified, not because he had done anything wrong, but from a human perspective, he had been crucified because he was a threat to the Jewish system. He was a threat to the religious leaders. He threatened their power, their authority, because of his popularity, because of how they thought he was interpreting Jewish law. But Peter personalized the message. And this is what I want you to notice. Peter said to those listening, this man, talking about Jesus, this man was handed over to you. To you, he personalized it, by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, he said, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. And then he also said, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Christ. Now that was a strong message. Some of those listening, some of them, may possibly have been involved in the actual plot to kill Jesus, but most of them wouldn't have been. And yet Peter, the Apostle Peter, was absolutely personalizing. He was saying, you helped to put Jesus on the cross. You were actively involved in his death. You put him to death. You nailed him to the cross. Why did Peter say that? Why did Peter say it so personally, so strongly to those people? Because the truth for all of us is this. It was our sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. And I'm sure some of those first Jews who listened to Peter preaching were angry at what he said. But tonight, I say to you, it was your sins that put Jesus on the cross. You, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Because Jesus had to die for you. Your sins, my sins, Our sins were what held Jesus to the cross. The Bible says he knew no sin. He didn't have any sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And he hung there because of us. But he hung there willingly. He hung there as a sacrifice, a willing sacrifice on our behalf. He took our sin. And the punishment and the wrath of God that was due for our sin, Jesus took it willingly for us. The real reason that Jesus was crucified was not that wicked men were plotting, the Jewish leaders were plotting. That wasn't the real reason. Running parallel to all of that was that ultimately it was the plan and the purpose of God, so that he could bring us to God, so that he could forgive us and that we could know relationship with God. That's what these people have been speaking about tonight in their testimony. To be forgiven. How can we be forgiven? Only through the blood of Jesus, only through Jesus' death on the cross. So this evening, when we speak about the cross, it's not something that doesn't concern you. It absolutely concerns you because you put Jesus there. I can say with complete accuracy that you crucified Jesus. You helped wicked men to nail him to the cross. And friends, he hung there to be your savior. Jesus didn't resent hanging over you on the cross. Jesus isn't angry that your sin put him on the cross. Jesus willingly submitted to the will of God the Father, and he hung there so that we could receive forgiveness. What a testimony. What a gospel. But in this particular sermon, Peter, he focused on the truth that although Jesus died on that cross, he didn't stay dead. In fact, he says, death, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God raised him up from the dead. And 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's where he is. Do you know that King David, speaking 1,000 years before the time of Christ, prophesied, and he said that he's seated there until God makes his enemies his footstool. As in Psalm 110, verse 1. That verse is quoted directly and indirectly up to 30 times in the New Testament. That's how important it is. Peter made it clear. Every detail that Jesus said about his life, his death, His resurrection, he said it was all to fulfill what had been written about him in the law and in the prophets. And absolutely every detail was fulfilled to the letter. But you know what Jesus also said? Jesus also said, I'm going to my Father, and when I go, I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. And that's what he did on the day of Pentecost. But he also said, I'm coming back. I am coming back again. Many scoff at that. Many mock at it. Many think, oh, that'll never happen. But Peter warned them. He said to the people, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He said, repent and be baptized. That's still the message of the church. Absolutely still the message of the church. Unashamedly, that is a message I preach to you this evening. Your primary need is not to be happy. It's not to have a great life with no problems. Your primary need is to repent of your sins, to be forgiven by Jesus, and to know that you are going to be in heaven. That's your primary need. You don't need me to tell you this is a corrupt generation. Over even this weekend again, you just turn on the news and you see what's happening and you say it's a corrupt generation. In every area, Jesus said, here are the signs of the end of the age. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. He also said, Christians will be persecuted. Did you know that there is more persecution of Christians now than at any time in the whole of world history? Right now. He spoke about false prophets rising up and deceiving many. It's happening all over the world. He spoke about this and he warned us. He said, my second coming will not be like my first. When Jesus came the first time, came as a baby into that manger in Bethlehem. Very few people, in terms of the world, very few people even were aware that the Son of God had come into the world. It meant, although there was the angels and all of that, it was basically quite quiet. But you know something? His second coming will be dramatic and it will be visible to every single person in the world. The Bible gives so many details. It gives details of a trumpet call. It gives details. There will be a loud command. There will be the voice of the archangel. And Jesus will come on the clouds of glory and every eye shall see him. But do you know the thing that is repeatedly emphasized when we're talking about the second coming? That it will be sudden. It will be in an instant. He will come like a thief in the night. He will come when people are just carrying on their lives and they're not expecting him. They're not watching the signs of the times, but suddenly he will come. Friends, I ask you tonight, are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? Have you made spiritual preparation? Some people, Jesus said, might say to you that I've come to some remote place. He said, if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, he said, don't go looking there. Or he say, here he is in the inner rooms, he said, don't believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. He's coming. He's coming like a thief. You need to be ready. He is the Lord. He will return. He will come at a time when people least expect him. In the light of the promise of Jesus to return as a glorious king, Peter said, people, I urge you. I urge you, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. He said, repent. Turn around. Change your mind. Repent of your sins and be baptized. Jesus offers forgiveness. Incredible. He offers forgiveness. These five tonight, along with many of you here I know, you have heeded this warning. You have followed Jesus. You recognize that you're a sinner. Many people say, oh, I'm not ready to be baptized. Many Christians say, I'm not ready to be baptized. You don't wait till you've graduated to some kind of higher good life or moral life to be baptized. Do you know what it takes to be baptized? To repent of your sins and to receive the forgiveness of Jesus and say, I'm following him. That's what it takes. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 of them said that and they were baptized. Jesus Christ, he's the only Savior. He is the only Savior. We live in a world that wants to proclaim the equality of all religions, the equality of this and the equality of that. There is one Lord, one Savior. His name is Jesus. He is the only one out of a gamut of world gods in this world. He is the only one who hung on a cross and says, I take upon myself your sin. Your sin put me here. Jesus said, I take your sin. Not only do I take your sin, I take all the punishment of God that is due for your sin, and I offer you complete forgiveness. What a Savior. Tonight, will you come to him? Are you ready for his return? Have you repented? Are you following? I urge you tonight, hear his voice and respond. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray, Lord, tonight for any here who do not know you. I pray that the challenge of your word would come to their hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would bring the conviction, because only you can do that, and you would draw to Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that your Spirit would move right over this congregation, touching hearts, softening hardness, and bringing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.